It's Wednesday. It's 7 p.m. It's the Lights Out, Let's Go F1 show. Jax Radio. So, good evening and welcome to the first Lights Out, Let's Go show on Jax Radio. And what other way could we start the show than with Fleetwood Mac and The Chain? Don't you reckon, fellas?
Classic. Great. Classic.
I mean, fantastic. In fact, that song is so ingrained in the F1 fraternity that obviously now that we're on Jax Radio, we're going to be talking F1 and playing music. And I said to both of you, can you send me a song through that we can play during the show? I already had The Chain lined up. Adam sent me The Chain, and then Rich said, I've got a great version of The Chain to play. And I was like, okay, right, we can't play it three times. So I had to pull rank. I've chosen The Chain, and I've asked you boys to choose two other songs. But you've chosen two classics as well. So that is absolutely great.
We could have played The Chain three times. It might be slightly boring, but I don't know. I think it's fantastic. I'll listen to that one.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So anyway, for those at home, you can hear the wonderful rich voices of Adam and Rich, who's also with me here. As I said, our podcast has now become a weekly radio show, and it is incredibly exciting. As I said, so we will be talking a bit of F1 and mixing in a few songs as we go along. So as I said, let's dive into a bit of news from around F1 since our last show. Last time, me and Rich had a bit of sad news. We were talking about the late Murray Walker, and a bit more sad news as well. So, but we obviously lost Sabine Schmitz as well, who was the darling of the Nürburgring and also previous Top Gear presenter. We heard last week that she'd passed away at a very young age indeed. I don't know if you knew much about Sabine also, Rich Adam.
No, I mean, obviously, you know, she... sort of came to provenance and fame a little bit on Top Gear, shall we say, with the challenging Jeremy Clarkson that she could do that time around the Nürburgring in a van. And not only that, she did it less than 10 minutes around the Nürburgring in a Ford Transit. She was an absolutely epic, epic driver, full stop. And I've been lucky enough to go to the Nürburgring, and her parents, I think, run a pub, like restaurant kind of place next to the Nürburgring, hence the reason why she spends all her time there. And I've eaten there. It's absolutely fantastic. And you know, it was a bit shocking and a bit sad. I didn't realise that she was ill, and she had been for
I didn't realise either.
I mean, it was really surprising at such a young age. I think she's only 51, I think, which is just...
Yeah, I think she was 51, wasn't she?
No age or whatsoever. And, you know, for somebody who's got two young daughters myself, I shall be introducing my daughters to her fantastic driving technique via YouTube and everything else now, and videos on the internet, and sadly won't get to see her live. It won't be one of those things that I did have in the back of my mind, because she used to drive one of the ring taxis around the Nürburgring that I'd like to take. I would like to have taken one or both of my girls there one day for a lap round there with her, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's very sad.
Yeah, very true, very true. We've also had The Drive to Survive out on Netflix since our last show. Have any of you had a chance to watch any episodes yet?
Oh, yes.
That's great, yes. Isn't it?
And I got to say, man, my early 2021 season love affair with Lawrence Stroll is only beginning to grow as I've started to watch that. So still not a big fan of Lance, but, man, yeah. Lawrence Stroll, I would not want to come across him across a boardroom table. That's a dead cert.
What I like about Drive to Survive is each season I've kind of picked up on probably sort of one line that has made me think, wow, like I didn't realise that before. Last season was when I saw Toto Wolff talking to the Mercedes team, and they'd already won, like, whatever it was, 5 back-to-back championships. But his speech to the rest of the Merck garage and whatever else was, let's crush them, you know, going forwards this season. It showed that drive. What I noticed this year was the innovation on the Merck for last season, the DAS system. Obviously, Red Bull complained to the FIA about it to get it investigated. And it was interesting seeing Toto Wolff and Christian talking about it. And it was a really good relationship between them, where Christian basically said to Toto, look, you know we're gonna contest this, and Toto Wolff was like, yeah, of course you are, you know, and that was quite nice. But then what was nice afterwards was Toto then said, but it's a great invention, isn't it? And Christian was like, oh yeah, it looks really good. Like they both loved the invention, but it was obvious that Christian was gonna contest it. It was, you know, I thought that was fantastic.
The whole gamesmanship comes across a lot more, you know, when you see that behind the scenes stuff, right?
Yeah, and I thought the interviews with Bottas was interesting as well, particularly when he admitted that he gave Max Verstappen a tow in Russia to help his campaign rather than help Lewis Hamilton at that point, because he was still in the championship. And for him to admit that, I thought was very, very intriguing. I don't know if you've seen that yet, Rich, but it's something to watch.
I have not. I've got to catch up on this. And obviously, I've got to get on board with the Lawrence Stroll loving. That's okay. Yes. The only thing I have got, I will say for him, is we've now got some really, really nice looking safety cars and medical cars as well. I've got to say, the Astons do look very nice out on the circuit. So, he's clearly... I think I said a couple of times last year, Lawrence Stroll isn't here to muck about and make up the numbers.
There's no doubt. There's reasons why there are certain people in the world are billionaires and certain people like me are stuck in my basement trying to eke out a living and figure out how I'm going to pay for my kids to get through college.
Exactly.
He's a beast.
We've obviously got a cost cap coming to F1 now, which is interesting. Don't know what your views are on that. I think it's a good thing, personally. To try and close,
I think it's a good thing. What I think is interesting, and I can't remember if it was where I read it or heard it. It might have been on the Sky broadcast, but they brought up one interesting thing that typically you would see teams that maybe, you know, a little bit behind the curve at the beginning of the season would very quickly catch up in the first few races as they learned more about the car. And what they were saying is that catch up time may not be quite as easy now that they've got budget considerations to go along with it. So I think that's going to be...
it'd be interesting.
One thing to keep your eye on, right?
Definitely. Draw the season out a bit as opposed to everybody getting to a level, more or less level playing field as far as they can quickly. It's going to make it very interesting.
Another change to F1 was shorter practice sessions. And I must say, as a spectator, I really, really enjoyed this. I don't know if you... watch the practice sessions, but it made it really tight, and all the cars were out there. There was just no time for them to sit in the pits and have a track where there's like one car just pounding around for a bit. It was like everyone was out the whole. It was almost like a qualifying session. I thought all the practice sessions were really good. Did any of you catch any of that?
No, I didn't really catch that. I have heard of the rule change though, so I was intrigued to see how it would change practice. I sort of thought what you said would ring true, obviously.
Yeah, I'm interested to see whether that sustains itself through the season, because obviously there was a little bit more of a desire to be out on the track during those practice sessions, just because everything was so much shortened going into the season, right?
But they've done a lot of practice at Bahrain, so it's kind of, I suppose, you know.
I thought
they might not be out as much, but
it'll be all okay until somebody has an incident in a practice session, and then
correct. Correct. There's one thing that I also saw, which I thought was really interesting. I saw somebody talking about it, was at Bahrain. You had that massive, is it the Boeing Dreamliner? I think you had that flyby before the race. And you had that big jet going over. Apparently, on the Friday, they were practicing that flyby over and over again to get it right. Vettel complained to the FIA to say that isn't good for Formula One's carbon footprint, that they shouldn't be doing that. FIA went to Gulf Air, addressed it with them, and Gulf Air said, you're right, and we will, for the flyby on the race, we will run 100% biofuel.
Oh, fair.
Really?
Well, yeah, I thought that was a really, really interesting thing to just to come out of that. I thought that was really good.
That was a really strong and innovative thing for Vettel to say.
Yeah, because F1 will keep going on about this biofuel and reducing their carbon footprint, but actually you don't think about things like that.
That's really good. He possibly needs to concentrate on primary function of ways there, but we'll come on to that.
I
thought you were going to say he was complaining about his practice times because he was getting stuck in the wash from the flyback.
Well,
I was waiting for that as well. I mean, that is... The heck of a driver's excuse, that one.
maybe. So, we got a song come up in a minute. So as I say, we are going to review the Bahrain qualifying and race. Just a quick thing. So who's done the fastest lap around Bahrain?
Ooh, as in the fastest lap of this weekend just gone?
No. So the lap, all out lap record.
You throw these little things in, Dan.
I know.
I feel like it's a trick question.
How long were we going to Bahrain for? I can't remember
since
the first one.
We've been going since 2004.
Oh, I'm going to go with Michael Schumacher.
I'm not. I'm going to go by the grin that I am fortunate or unfortunate enough to be able to see on Dan's face. It's going to be Fernando.
It's Michael Schumacher, 2004.
Ah! Boom! Boom! Yes!
However, after 2004, after the first race, they actually redesigned turn four. Okay, so who under the current track has the lap record now? And I bet you do not know this.
Ooh, so it's anything post 2004, so 2005 onwards, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. It's the phrase, I bet you don't know this.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, crumbs. I'll go with Kimi Räikkönen then.
Adam, do you know?
Not a clue. So let's go with Pastor Maldonado.
No, it's Pedro de la Rosa in the McLaren. 2005, it is. And
really?
On that bombshell, Rich, you have a song coming up.
So I've got a song coming up. And as you said earlier on, we all wanted the chain. And the particular version of the chain I wanted, we couldn't really have because the band has only ever performed it once. It was by Florence and the Machine. It was at Glastonbury in 2010. And my little link there is that the only reason she was headlining at Glastonbury was they were a stand-in for the Foo Fighters because Dave Grohl had busted his leg. So that's my little link into the Foo Fighters. And this is Days Like These because I just think this is an epic track.
Oh, yes. Magic.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's Go F1 Show, Jack Ring. And that song, Rich, what was that song called again?
That was Times Like These, because I'll tell you why I had Days Like These in my head. Because Days Like These is a Matt Monro song.
Right, there you go.
Talk about driving through mountains in Lamborghinis at the start of the Italian Job. So there you go. That's kind of, you know.
Excellent. So that was the Foo Fighters and that was Times Like These. So let's go into the qualifying and the race now. So qualifying. So quick round up of the top 10. So we had in pole position, Max Verstappen. We had number two, Lewis Hamilton. Number three, Bottas. Number four, Leclerc. Gasly in fifth, which I thought was excellent. Ricciardo in sixth. Norris in seventh. It was a good outing by the McLaren boys. Eight was Sainz. Nine was Fernando Alonso. Fantastic. Yeah. And number 10, which I think we could be seeing more often in this car, but unfortunately was number 10, Lance Stroll. But there you go. Yes. So is there anything that surprised you in that sort of grouping or anything further down?
Yes, Lance Stroll.
Yeah, Lance Stroll. Yeah, you're correct. Correct.
100%. That's a surprise. No, I thought it was brilliant, very good qualifying. And, I think Fernando in ninth, although people might go, well, you know, ninth place. But I think relative to his teammate who's had a longer time in the car, hasn't had a break for a couple of years, but just shows you Fernando's come back and he's on it straight away, I think.
Agree. Okay, so it seems like Red Bull have the quickest car as we start the season. They normally start the season sort of slower and develop the car on, don't they? So is it ominous that they've started the season with the fastest car and are they going to develop it on? Do you think they're going to stay ahead at this point?
I think it's going to be really interesting to see because I think it's really going to put the pressure on Verstappen to deliver, right? Because it's really going to be, and yeah, we'll come on to the race in a little bit, but is that pressure already starting to kind of eke through perhaps just in race one? And of course, Mercedes are who Mercedes are. They're certainly not going to take that laying down. I mean, they are going to come back thick and fast and quickly, I would think.
I'd agree, Adam. I think, although I mean, I think on the whether the pressure will sit well with Max, he seemed pretty. I don't know. I think I there's a different air about Max Verstappen this year. I think
he's serious, isn't he? Because he knows it's within his grasp.
Yeah, I think he looks more confident and more assured. And I think he knows he's got to handle the pressure. Definitely.
Yeah.
As you rightly say, Adam. You know, Mercedes are not going to stand still, and they know that they're behind. And to be fair, I think after qualifying, you know, certainly Lewis was saying that they were further up than they thought they were going to be. They really thought they were going to be quite far behind after that initial first 3 days of testing that they had. So I think they were pleasantly surprised that they were as competitive as they were. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not just down to the Red Bull car. It's the power engine they've got in the back of the thing as well, because that Honda now is a very good engine, and it showed with AlphaTauri. I mean, you know, they had a rocket ship there, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Just at the point that McLaren dropped them. I mean, all right, they've shoved the Mercedes in the back of it, but, you know, that Honda engine has eventually, at last, come good, hasn't it?
Yeah, very true. So obviously, after testing, Merck looked like they were quite a bit behind Red Bull. Now, here's my theory here. After testing, Merck, the sort of body language in the garage was quite low. And they didn't understand their car yet. And I don't think they knew if they could make the gains. What was interesting is they have made gains against Red Bull since testing. They're closer. They're not there yet. But they looked really upbeat. And I'm sure if they don't have any more time to unlock from that car, they wouldn't be happy still being behind Red Bull. I think they're understanding the car now, and they know they've got even more pace to unlock, which is why they're happy being as close as they were now, I think. And I think it's going to get very, very interesting. We've got 3 weeks until between Bahrain and the next race. I think Merck are quietly confident they can make these gains up, I think.
Yeah, it looks like that way.
Yeah. The other bit about qualifying. Nikita Mazepin, or Nikita Mazespin, as he's now called on social media, spent pretty much all of practice, all of qualifying sideways, which was interesting.
Yes, he did, didn't he? He's not exactly had the best debut weekend, has he, really, to be fair?
No, he hasn't at all.
Lance Stroll must be loving him though, because it's propelled him up the driver rankings.
It really has.
You know, Lance has been a long time lights out, let's go favourite at the bottom end of the grid. But to be honest with you, I don't think he needed Mazespin to help him further up the grid. I think, unfortunately, Sebastian kind of did that for him a bit as well.
Yeah. I mean, what was interesting is you had Yuki Tsunoda, which we'll come on to him later when we talk about the race, showing that, you know, you can actually drive a car sideways, whereas Mazespin was actually driving his car sideways. And, you know, kind of a real difference in talent, so I think, but there you go.
Yes, exactly.
The only other thing I was going to say about, you know, when you said surprises about qualifying is, where is the surprise at Alpine when you get the returning driver, okay, Alonso or no Alonso, Alonso qualifying in ninth, and then Ocon, who's always been touted as this next generational driver, and he's languishing down there in 16th. I mean, that's going to start asking questions if that continues, right? And Ocon's going to be brought to task, I think, as the season goes on, if he doesn't start to deliver at least somewhere close.
Agreed. I think Ocon's stock has fallen even last year. I don't think he was performing that well, and at the moment, perhaps he's not. And I think he's certainly lost a chance of that Mercedes seat should it come up at the end of the season. Obviously, you've got George Russell waiting in the wings as well, but I don't think Ocon, being a Mercedes junior driver, is going to challenge Russell to that seat.
I don't think he is.
No, I don't think so either.
Agreed.
There you go. Any other notable bits? Tsunoda in qualifying one put in a fantastic lap. I think he was put out on hard tyres in qualifying two, which was asking a lot of a rookie in his first qualifying session to get a good time out of it. But I think he's got a bit of maturity to come, but he looks a great driver, and he looks like he can put in a proper lap.
He looked like he was ready to get after it, wasn't he? I mean, you know, I get it. He was in 13th, but man, he was driving that car like he just didn't care. Like, let's go, I'm here.
Did you hear what he said in the interview after the race about his overtake on Fernando Alonso?
Yes.
No.
It was fantastic. He said, so they were by the Skypad, I think, and they were talking about his overtake, and they said, you know, it's your first race, you're up against Alonso, what was going through your mind? And he said, to be honest, I put my complete trust in Alonso's ability and experience, and I just sent it down the inside like a rookie. Like, fair play.
That is the one I heard that.
Brilliant.
That's fantastic.
He's also been reported to say that, you know, I mean, the radio, the commentary that he made there is fantastic about it, but he was also, you know, reasonably emotional about it as well, to be honest with you, because he's been a bit of a fan of Fernando Alonso, Yuki Tsunoda.
Yes, yeah.
But he said it was quite emotional passing him in the race, and, you know, it's I'm very excited by him as well. I think he's going to be he's a fantastic addition to the grid. And it's always nice to have a good Japanese driver on the grid. It's going to make those Far East races really, you know, when we get the fans back, they're going to be all over it. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
You're listening to Jack's Radio.
Okay, so on to the race then. So we had a win for Lewis Hamilton. And to people who don't watch the sport, they may think it sounds like business as usual, but it was far from that. What I enjoyed about that is it showed his critics, or, you know, it showed Lewis's critics that he doesn't need the fastest car to be able to win the race, because he was not in the fastest car during that race, and he still pulled off a fantastic win by 0.7 seconds over Max, but it's still a win, and I thought that was fantastic.
Absolutely. What an exciting opening race. Absolutely fantastic. The whole thing, top to bottom, was just brilliant from start to finish. Really, really enjoyable. Obviously, you know, we've had a few months off, so we're kind of really, really chomping at the bit to see a race. But it lived up to all the hype and expectation. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And Lewis claimed another record at this race. Do you know what it was?
Yes.
Oh, tentative on, yes, there, Adam. Come on, what is it?
And it's, it was most laps led.
Yes, it was. I think he got it on about lap 58, I think. And so he is now led, he's led more now. By the time when he broke it, partway through the race, he had led 5,112 laps to that point. And so he beat Schumacher at that point. Another little interesting fact there was this race, so Lewis winning and obviously Merck winning, means that Mercedes have held the top spot in the championship in the Constructor and Drivers' Championships since Germany 2018, which is a long time ago now, when you think about it.
That is a long time ago.
That was when you could hug people back then, you know, not that I wanted to.
No, well, this is very true, but we can do that again soon now. It's also, I believe, the first time Lewis has won the opening race of a Grand Prix season in at least 5 years, I think.
Since 2015.
There you go. Everyone thinks he wins every single time. He doesn't.
Yeah.
As you rightly say, he looks so, I mean, the commentary I saw, and, I'm still on the paltry highlights on Channel 4. Not that they're paltry, it's a very good broadcast, but I would like to see it live, obviously. He looks so excited, he's so pumped, so driven. It was like it's almost one of his first ever wins in F1, not the win of a seven-time world champion.
He
really had to work for that, and was just stoked. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, very true, very true. So in the race, the top 10, how it finished was Hamilton in first, Verstappen second, Bottas third, Norris in fourth. Great race by Norris.
Fantastic.
Had a great battle with Ricciardo the first sort of lap. But it was good for him to stamp his authority on Ricciardo to start with. You know, it's going to be a good battle, those two, I think. Perez in fifth, a great drive by Perez after starting at the back of the grid when his car conked out on the parade lap.
That is why you employed Perez. That's why you do it. That's why you paid Red Bull back in spades.
Exactly. You had Leclerc in sixth, Ricciardo in seventh, Sainz in eighth. Good showing by Sainz, really, for his first race in Ferrari. You had Yuki Tsunoda in nine, so it's scoring his first his points in his first race, which is great. And then you had Lance Stroll in 10th. There we go. And if I ask you, was there any surprises in there? You're going to say, yes, Lance Stroll in 10th. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not not after qualifying, but...
Yeah, fair enough.
I think, yeah, that was... Well, it was an interesting race for Lance Stroll and his Aston Martin colleague, I think.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom.
I was going to say, Seb did not have a good weekend, did he?
No, he didn't. But yeah, we'll come on to that. So a few other notable positions. So Russell in 14th. So Mr. Saturday, he qualified pretty well. Finished the race in 14th again, which is really good in that Williams. Vettel finished in 15th. So behind Russell, behind the Williams. You know, he's meant to be in a car. It's reasonably fast. Stroll got it to 10th. It wasn't a good weekend for Vettel, but, you know, as I said, we'd come on to that if you've got time. Schumacher finished his first race. He finished up in 16th. Okay, he had an early spin, but that Haas looks a real handful. And you had Nikita Mazepin, who span on the first lap.
And Nikita Mazepin has completed more formation laps than he has race laps today.
That's a hell of a stat
to be not proud of, isn't it?
I think that's going to become a regular thing, really. But there you go. So, yeah, there were some interesting talking points. So the battle between Hamilton and Verstappen then. So I thought it was really interesting the way the race swung between the two. You know, towards the start, you thought, OK, this is Verstappen's race. Merck reacted well to go for the undercut. Lewis had a bit of hammer time, put in some great laps, which put Red Bull into a real tricky position of what do we do now? Because if we pitted, we'd come out behind Hamilton. It made them really sort of think on their feet. Then it sort of swung back towards Verstappen. After the second pit stops, Lewis was on old tyres. Verstappen started coming back and you were thinking, okay, you know, Max is going to definitely get him here. I thought it was really, really interesting, that whole battle, and it culminated right towards the end of the race, which I was on my feet for. You know, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Of course, so two laps before the end, or was it three laps before the end, Max went for an overtaking manoeuvre on Lewis Hamilton. He ended up going wide and he had to give the place back. What are your views on that?
I'm wondering when the track limits rant is going to start, Dan. Pretty good stuff. Carrying on from last year, he had to give the place back. If you look at the replay, he was clearly over and gained a lasting advantage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it was absolutely the right thing to do. I think my surprise comes in that he actually did it. And I think that shows not so much maybe that he actually did it, but he did it with just almost zero protesting over the radio. At least he made a further comment about it at the end of the race. But I think, you know, you were talking earlier on in the show about, you know, his level of maturity this year. And I think perhaps that's starting to show him maturing as a driver, that he realized that it was maybe not what he wanted to do, but ultimately it was the right thing to do. Yes, he could have stayed there, taken the 5-second penalty, because he was pretty sure that he could zoom off into the distance and build those 5 seconds before. I don't see it personally, but whatever.
Well, you say that, Adam, but the bit was when he came over the radio and said, "We can just pull the 5 seconds." It's like you've said that now, so. How big do you think the penalty is likely to be? Because they can, within the rules, if they wanted to, they could DQ him for that. Overtaking outside of track limits is absolutely not allowed.
Sure. Yeah, I think
so.
Red Bull were right in terms of giving it space. That 5-second penalty, I thought it shows Max's want to win. But yeah. I think it was wrong by him, because the 5-second penalty for overtaken outside the limits is, if, you know, say you can test it and then by the time they make the decision, the person behind you has pitted or something, so you're unable to give that place back, then they give the 5 seconds. If you're able to give the place back, you give the place back. So I don't think it was right that Max would just go on and take 5 seconds.
The other piece though was that it wasn't so much that he gave it back, it was the place on the track that he chose to give it back, because there was absolutely a more advantageous place on the track for him that he could have made that switch, right? Rather than doing it where he did. But hey, I mean, you know, fair play to him. I think that was it's good to see if these guys are going to really get into it this year, that it's at least at the beginning, the sportsmanship appears to be there and the acknowledgement of each other's talent and the fact that they both want it, you know, supposedly they both want this really tight battle as much as the fans do. We'll see what that actually translates to when we're on race 17 and there's only 3 points in the driver's championship, right? If that were to materialize.
I agree. So
I think I felt like that was just a good indication of, again, that we could be in for a heck of a season here.
Yeah, I think it was really that the sportsmanship between them was good. And as you say, Max is, you know, his maturity has really come on this year with his response to that.
I mean, track limits, it did annoy me because in qualifying, they were told they couldn't go over that line at turn four. Mm-hmm. In the race, they were told it was okay unless you gain a lasting advantage, i.e. you're in an overtaking manoeuvre and then you have to give it back, which is why Max had to give it back. So Lewis, 29 times, 29 laps, he went over that line at turn four. After a while, Red Bull cottoned on and told Max to do it. So Max started doing it. So he was also going over that line. But then race control, halfway through the race, told them both, warned them not to do it anymore.
Well, is that true? I understood it was Red Bull who actually made the comment and the complaint to race control about...
They did, but then race control then said, so Lewis and Max don't go over the line. So you know what? If you have that track limit set at the start of the race, don't go outside the track. Drivers won't do it. It is the one thing of F1 that is utter madness.
It boils your bladder contents, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But anyway, let's move on.
Well, the thing was, you can talk about the track limits as to whether it's right or wrong. The fact was, they actually sort of changed it and chose to enforce it halfway through the blooming race.
Yeah. It was just bizarre. But anyway, there you go. Quick comment about Valtteri Bottas. So there's all this talk about, you know, last year it was Bottas 2.0. You know, this year, it's Bottas 3.0. Now he really needs to get on with it. When do you think Merck admit that actually perhaps it's Bottas 0.0 and they get rid of him?
It's Bottas Windows 1.5, I reckon.
end of this year. He's done. Yeah.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Is he on a one-year deal? Is he on a one-year deal?
Yes, he is, yeah. So both Lewis and Bottas are up at the end of the season.
Yeah, oh, well, I agree with Adam. I think he's got to be looking over his shoulder mass. You know, George Russell just needs to keep banging in the consistency. Williams clearly showing that he's better than the car. You know, and I think they'll consider their options, but I don't think Valtteri will be in it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Fernando Alonso, he ended up with a DNF. I was absolutely gutted. He had carbon fibre lodged into his brake duct and his car overheated, which is why he went out. But gutted to see him go out. But it's great to see him back, obviously.
It was great. There were some fights in the midfield with Fernando. It was just great to see him back and fighty and up for it as well.
Definitely. So Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo, they had a few tasty moments in the first lap, didn't they? I think that was quite good. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm so excited to see that up and running, and good to see McLaren near the front again. I think there was also a couple of moments between Lando and Sainz too, where he kind of gave him the little wave on the way by, which was I thought was good over the weekend. Yeah. But
definitely, I think I'm really excited, and I think Lando is, you know, I think a lot of people thought Daniel Ricciardo would turn up in that McLaren with a Merc engine, and he would show his class and show Norris a clean pair of heels, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Lando's a very, very capable driver.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be very interesting between those two.
It's going to be a strong team, I think. I think they're set for a very, very consistent good point scoring season McLaren are. So it'll be nice to see him finishing further, you know, potentially could they be further up the table? I don't know. I think they'll definitely be best of the rest.
Yeah, no, I agree. Perez, you had him coming through the field from the back of the grid to finish fifth. We've already covered Perez, but yeah, that was excellent.
Magnificent drive for Perez,
yeah,
I thought.
Fantastic.
Recovery drive. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It was really good to see Ferrari sort of getting back in the mix. I think Leclerc showed his class to finish sixth. I thought it was a really good showing by Sainz in his first race to capture eighth. I think it's really good to... I'm not a Ferrari fan, but it's always good to see them back on the pace and, you know, see them up there close to sort of challenging everyone and not languishing like they were before, I think.
Yeah, seem to have a good vibe in the team this year, I think, definitely.
Yeah. Adam, I know you're not really a Ferrari fan, and obviously you're more of an Aston Martin fan now, aren't you? So,
yeah, not huge, but again, I think I like their driver lineup this year more than I have done at all in a good number of years. Yeah, there's always been, you know, that struggle, but let's hope that those guys stay true to themselves and don't develop the way that sometimes you see, I believe, Ferrari develop their drivers into that kind of level of I don't know, arrogance or elitist kind of view. So I've seen that happen with a lot of their drivers, I think. So I do like Sainz, I do like Leclerc. So I hope they stay the way they are today.
Yeah, that's fair. And then you had Yuki Tsunoda. So I think he was one of the stars of the race, really. You know, we've talked about what he said about overtaking Alonso. You know, he put in a few other overtakes as well. He's got the sort of Daniel Ricciardo-esque like to his overtaking, I think. You know, just sending it down the inside, you know, put a poster stamp on it and see what happens. I think he's got an exciting future in F1, and I think it's only great for the fans seeing someone like that, I think.
Agree. Yeah, I think he's going to be fantastically exciting as a driver. He seems to be, he's coming, and again, he's somebody else who's coming, and he's not there to make up the numbers, clearly.
Yeah, very true. And a poor race from Vettel. It was quite disappointing in the Aston Martin.
Well, there was a bit in the middle, I have to say. I was hoping you'd mention this, because there was a section, and I can't remember, it was mid-race, there was a really great fight between, I think Carlos Sainz was in there, but it was Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel for several corners going at it hammer and tongs, and it was brilliant. And there were moments when I saw Sebastian Vettel fighting and having a bit between his teeth. I thought, thank God, because he had a rubbish start today, rubbish qualifying. And I thought, actually, in the race, he's got it. He's got the bit between his teeth. Got up to 14th on the first lap with all the shenanigans that went on. And I was really pleased to see him up there and fighting. And then he just let it down with just going into the back of Ocon and the commentary that he made of, oh, why did he move? And it's just like, we've all got eyes in our head, Seb.
I could not believe what I was hearing. Like, he said, what? Like, he hit the back of him and he said, I can't believe he's moved across the track. And you see the replay, Ocon doesn't move. And Vettel comes right across the track. He's watching a different race sometimes. I don't get it with Vettel sometimes like that. He's seen something else, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was the same way on the Saturday. I felt a little bit sorry for him initially. Like, you know, did he get caught up with the yellow flag towards the end? And initially people were saying that. And again, he was then moaning about, well, you know, my last lap was kind of hampered by the yellow flag. But then he got a 5-second penalty because he didn't slow down for the yellow flag. So help me understand how you were hampered on that lap if you actually didn't lift. I mean, I'm sure there was an impact, but not quite to the extent that he had. And I think then once he did hit Ocon, and he knew that 10-second time was coming, I think that's where he's different, is he just seems to give up and just like kind of writes the weekend off.
I agree.
A real shame. He's just, I don't know, he's never really got to grips with this wider tired era of car, I think.
I don't think he's ever got to grips with not racing from the front.
that's also a fair point as well.
He's always been, he just doesn't seem to do well in that mid-pack, man. He can't handle it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he was outperformed by Stroll all weekend, which is
right.
What a great start, is it? It's that's great.
That says quite a lot, and none of it's great.
No, it's really not.
Not when you're a four-time world champion, it's not. No disservice to Lance Stroll, who actually, I think, had a very good weekend, to be fair, to Lance Stroll.
Yeah, no, he actually did, yeah, to be fair, he actually did. Okay, so that brings us on to our next song. So, Adam, this is your choice, I think.
Yeah, it is, in fact. Now, I picked this one just partly to represent the beginning of a new season, but mostly because it's just a great song, and that is Thin Lizzy, The Boys Are Back in Town.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show, Jack's Ring. So that was Thin Lizzy with The Boys Are Back in Town. So, boys, you are back in town, so it's prediction time. So me and Rich at our last show had our predictions. Rich went for Max to win, Ricardo second, and Perez third. And I went for Perez to win, Lewis second, and Max third. So I think we can both say that we were some way off, really.
Yes, quite wrong.
But there you go. So for the next race, so Rich... we go to Imola next. What do you think? What do you think it's going to be?
I think in Imola, I think Max is going to get that win. So I think it's going to be Max Verstappen to win it. And I think second place is going to fall to Sergio Perez. So I think that's going to get the constructors' battle going. And third place... I'm torn here. I want to say Lewis, but I think something's going to happen at Imola, and I think it's going to be. Oh, I'm going to throw it in there. I think it's going to be Pierre Gasly. There you go.
Okay, Gasly. Okay, Adam, your predictions.
So I think also it's going to be Max for the win this time around. I also think that in the 3 weeks that we've got, Merck are going to continue to close the gap, so I'm still going to stick Lewis in at number two. However, I'm with Rich. I think there are going to be things that will happen in Imola, but this time I think it's going to be to Valtteri Bottas, and therefore I'm going to give Lando Norris his first official podium in Formula One.
Nice. Okay, so I am going to go... I think Mercedes are going to continue closing the gap. I think they're going to be pretty much on a par at Imola. And I think, as with this race, Lewis is going to make the difference. So I think I'm going to go Lewis for the win. I'm going to go Max Verstappen second. And who am I going to go for third? Between Bottas and Perez, I'm going to go Sergio Perez. There you go. So that's going to be Lewis, Max and Perez. So as I say, yes, so we go to Imola next, always an emotive track to go to with, what we spoke about it last year, so I didn't mean really with what happened with Ayrton Senna and Ronan Ratzenberger. So it always evokes certain memories, that track, but it's also an absolutely fantastic track. Always excited. It's not often on the calendar, but because of the COVID times, it's been back, and I think it's been great having it back. I don't know what you think about that.
It's a corker. It is a great track. I just think my predictions are based on the fact that I agree, Adam. I think Merck is going to improve, but I just think that track will suit the Red Bull, Honda, AlphaTauri type cars, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Adam?
Yep, totally agree. Bring it. Let's go. I can't wait. I've got to wait 3 weeks. It's like we've been kind of... it's there and it's like 3 weeks. Seriously?
Yes. But there you go. Right, so that pretty much brings us to the end of our show. So all I can say is thanks for joining me, fellas. I hope you've enjoyed this. Have you had a good time doing this? It's our first radio show. Hope you've been excited. What have you thought?
Fantastic. Yep. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, good time. Bring it. Let's go. A lot of fun.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's show, and if you have any questions or feedback, then you can tweet and follow us on Twitter @lights_F1. And you can follow us and subscribe to Lights Out Let's Go F1 podcasts on Apple Podcasts. Please also follow the station on Twitter and Instagram on @JaxRadio. Well, thanks for joining me, and it just remains for me to say, until next time, it's goodbye and drive safely.
Listening to Jax Radio.